I had no idea Frederick Douglass said that, and I won every Black History Month trivia at my church when I was 12.
Well, your church was trash. Let's start there. Your church wasn't doing good Black history info.
They weren't incorporated. They paid taxes. They're stupid.
It was the same Martin Luther King speech every year.
Given by me.
I'll be honest. They weren't doing enough. And that's on you. That's on you. That's on the church that you belong to. Bang, 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 skeet, skeet, skeet. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal, devastating episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the conspiracies of the Black community, and we finally work to prove that Irma P. Hall may have lost her leg in the movie Soul Food, but I assure you, ain't nothing happened to that ass. You're sitting on something sturdy, Big Mama, and I want to eat mac and cheese off of it every Sunday. That's right, Irma P. Hall. Come and find me, sweetheart. I'm trying to see what that meat do. It's me, your host, Langston Kermit, the man yelling sexual comments at Irma P. Hall. That's what I'm into. You should know that about me. I'm very excited today. Our guest, a phenomenal comedian, a dear friend, a man who I've known longer than almost anybody I can think of in my journey as a comedian. He was one of the first comedians I ever met. He's hysterical. You know him from Comedy Central. You know him from RIP, that NBC, what was that shit called? What was it? Not Quibi. The one before CISO. Quibi. Yeah, CISO. RIP CISO. But goddamn, did he have a funny set on there that NBC couldn't maintain because they didn't invest right into CISO. But this motherfucker's funny as shit. A dear friend. Give it up for Clark Jones, everybody.
What's up, everybody? We here. Don't be mad at Chicago. Got to promote the things that I'm doing. I got to intro myself.
Hell yeah.
My credit was a defunct. My credit was a worse version of Quibi.
Well, that's not true. CISO had a lot of good things that they just didn't give a fuck about and let die.
Yeah, it was ran by NBC. I wish NBC knew about CISO. That would have been great. I wish they knew. Like, that's like CISO was like some money they found in the couch. Like, oh, that's ours?
Oh, that oh shit. We were supposed to be in charge of that?
Oh, wait. Us. NBC TV? The thing Bill Cosby tried to buy.
Oh, okay. All right. And now I see. Maybe we were responsible for his downfall. Maybe this whole thing was right. Bill Cosby.
When you put it like that. When you put it like that. I mean, damn, though. We need this. We need another reboot. We need this Cheers reboot to pop. We needed money for that. We had to drop CISO.
We had to drop it. How are you, dude?
I'm never as good as I say that I am on the podcast.
Sure. Sure. You know what? Let me say this. I appreciate your transparency in this. A lot of people are like, I'm great. And it's like, no, you're not. You're crumbling inside.
I'm never as good. I mean, and it, even more so today, I had a terrible experience this morning. And I'm just, it's one of those things that I took care of. But just because you put a fire out, that don't mean it didn't cause damage.
Sure.
While it was ablaze.
Right.
I'm dealing with that, but I'm here. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be talking to you, man, and not a complete stranger.
Hell yeah.
On a podcast saying I'm great. If you were a stranger, I would be like, I'm great, man. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Yeah. And you're with me, you're like, hey, man, things are crumbling, but tell your little jokes. Let's get to it.
This is just a FaceTime that that we have in that's recorded with a secret person.
Well, I'm excited, if nothing else, to get into your conspiracy theory, because very rarely on this podcast does somebody come to me with a conspiracy theory I've never heard of before in my life. This is a brand new one to me, and not in a bad way. It's one that I heard and I was like, I don't know, maybe, possibly. I'm listening, and I want to make it clear. You said, my mama told me.
The mattress industry intentionally introduced a bed bugs outbreak in order to sell more mattresses.
You nailed it. That's it. Yes.
Tell me more. Where does this come from? Where?
I lived in New York from 2013 through 2018-19.
Yeah.
And when we moved there, there was no outbreak. And about 2015-2016, they were just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then it went from New York, and all of a sudden it was across the country. And then we just stopped hearing about it. And yeah. I would go to Times Square, and I would just see, like, why is, like, the mattress company, like, prime real estate? Elevators, like, red carpet. And they just kept popping up. They kept popping up because, you know, you take advantage. Like, I think OCD is one of the biggest afflictions that is taken advantage of. People who, like, oh, that has a speck of dirt. Let's get it out of here. Bed bugs, motherfuckers was, like, you go up and down Brooklyn, you just saw poorly plastic-wrapped mattresses all up and down Halsey Avenue. It wasn't just the big companies. Like, you walk down the block in the little march, like, on, I forget the name of it, but, like, yeah, just all these little shops was just open, I mean, with mattresses.
That's interesting. Okay, you're digging into two things that I think are really important here. Number one, how the fuck does a mattress company get real estate in Times Square? Like, what did y'all do that made it that you could be next to the M&M store?
Dude, Madison Square mattresses.
Yeah.
You go to a Knick game, then get a Sealy Posturepedic. Like, yeah, it was just...
There's something off here. There's something, isn't correct. Yes. And so, to that point, maybe there's a possibility that this is a way that somebody's washing their money. Maybe this is a big wealthy person who is figuring out a way to clean up the otherwise corrupt money that they bring in. Or these companies are figuring out a way to get money where in places and in ways that maybe aren't normal for regular mattress companies. Maybe, you know, people needing a new mattress, you do that, what, every, like, 5 to 10 years?
Dude.
Tops?
Broke-ass comics having to buy new mattress. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, this is extra money. Like, no, you gotta get, because not only the infestation, the stigma of having
right.
It. And I lived in a bowl in Bushwick. Like, Bushwick is built like a bowl. And
yeah,
I was wondering why we were able to afford it is because we lived at the bottom of a bowl. And so whenever it rained, and it stormed a lot, I didn't even know it stormed that much in New York, but like everybody's insects, dirt, whatever slid down to the bottom of the bowl. And I lived in the basement in Bushwick with no windows.
You were literally the lowest point of Bushwick.
We were, that last Oreo cookie cereal, the last soggy one. That was us. Mm-hmm.
That was you. And therefore, you were getting the runoff of everybody else's shit.
Think of it. Yeah, like a cereal bowl. Like that last Cap'n Crunch has all the cherry, the crunch berry red all over it. That was our apartment. So we got flooded. We got bed bugs. And I had to get a new mattress.
Yeah. And so naturally, you went to a place to buy a new mattress post bed bugs, PBD. Or PBB, what is it? Bedbug, PBB.
PBB.
But you go, you get this new mattress, and do they try to upsell you? Are they like, then like, hey, you need this bedbug resistant mattress?
I had no idea what it would even cost. So, yeah. I mean, like, I don't, of course, if the demand went up, then the price go up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even, it was the mattress, and it was like, oh, and you need this special, you need a bed cover, a mattress cover too, because then the bed bugs, then they go like, oh man, his shit protected, we can't get it. Right.
Oh man, this nigga got a force field. Oh, how am I supposed to get in there?
we need indoor. They got us on the outside of the bed. That's not good. And they And then
genius.
You know what you else saw? What else you saw? On the telephone poles, like the big thing you see. Then you see like bed bug. We take care of bed bugs, cockroaches, like everywhere. Everywhere you went, you saw that. and like the dollar store had the sprays. So like it was a wide in the front of the store. It wasn't like in the back like it used to be.
To your point, there starts to become a thriving industry around bed bugs.
Anything bed bug related, motherfuckers were selling it.
And in your mind, based on your conspiracy, because I do think, and let's clarify, this is something you genuinely believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You said it in a very matter-of-fact way, like, what kind of fool would ask that kind of question? And I, and for our listeners at home, I want to be clear, you're the fool. The fool who believes it is Clark.
The question is always, why wouldn't they?
Okay, now I'm listening because
that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. I hear you.
And that is how they get you.
That's how they get you. But okay, so what you're saying is that somewhere along the lines, this outbreak happens, and in your mind, the big mattress, the mattress industry knows that they can gain resources from this whole experience. I guess my question for you is, do you believe that this mattress industry created the outbreak to start off, that they are the ones that incited the outbreak?
Here's the thing. I think people took advantage of it. And yes, I do think this was intentional.
Wow.
Yes.
So like Dr. Seeley of Seeley Posturepedic.
Mr. Alvin Serta. Mr. Alvin.
Fred Casper.
Mr. Alvin Malcolm Serta himself. Whatever they were doing to get rid of bed bugs. Because it ain't like, oh, dirty motherfuckers just started coming to New York in 2015.
Right.
They didn't start then. How the bed bugs getting through now? They stronger? Coming from the old country? No disrespect.
No disrespect to all my older listeners who might have come from the old country.
By old country, I just mean the Staten Island Ferry. Did they hop off the ferry and decide like, oh, this is nice? Did they just make their way to Brooklyn? Like, no. And it's such a commuter city that how come I could go to the Upper East Side and it wasn't crazy?
Right. Yeah, to that point, we're all constantly on trains. We're all constantly bumping up against each other. In theory, if I'm sitting at home with bed bugs, so should this Upper East Side Maxinista, if you will. And instead, she's not getting it, but I am.
Every nanny on the Upper East Side comes from Crown Heights.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
The ones I would let watch my kids.
Right. If your nanny ain't Jamaican, what did you even do this for? What are you in the game for if you ain't going to get a Jamaican woman to raise your children?
You might as well live in Brooklyn.
You might as well live there. Yeah.
If your nanny ain't from there, you might as well live there. You should be a nanny if your nanny ain't Jamaican. You broke.
I love that. I love that line of Jeff Foxworthy jokes where he's just like, you should be a Jamaican living in Brooklyn.
You might be a Jamaican nanny if you brought bed bugs to Gramercy.
Oh, Jeff, when are you going to stop being funny, you know?
That's all I want, man. I think I need to come up with something like that, but I forget to write it in my notes app. So
sure.
Like all my million-dollar ideas.
That's the only difference between you and Jeff Foxworthy is he doesn't forget to write it down.
He wrote one thing down.
He was like, I got to keep this bit going. This is tight. I'm fucking killing right now.
He brought bed bugs.
So, okay, you said something interesting because this is something that I, in hearing your conspiracy theory, was sort of struggling with. I thought for a second you were suggesting that the mattress companies had sort of bioengineered these bed bugs. But I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what you're saying is they, in fact, just stopped doing everything they could to protect us against the bed bugs, thus allowing them to come into our lives, thus increasing their revenue.
Yes, they didn't do everything they could to protect us or stop them, including releasing them onto the MTA.
So what you're saying, and I just be, you're saying that like when I go to a mattress store, and specifically in New York City in 2015, What you're saying is somebody is intentionally picking up a bed bug and a pair of tweezers and placing that bad boy right smack dab in the middle and presuming that that bed bug will, over a course of time, lay eggs and repopulate inside my mattress, thus making it necessary for me to go back to them a year later and be like, hey, I got the shit.
There's a plethora of ways that this could be manifested, including, and I'm not saying this to be sure because I don't have the facts, but including pretending to be sweeping as an exterminator of other bugs and planting.
Whoa, the bugs. Hold up. Wait a goddamn minute. Hold the motherfucking phone. Clark, I think you just got us into a segment that I want to call Talk That Talk. And in Talk That Talk, I'm going to give you 30 seconds because you just got into something terrifying, if true, horrifying, if true. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm going to play some music. I would love for you to fully unpack what you just said about the possibility of the exterminators being in on this whole thing. 30 seconds, whenever you're ready.
In the words of Giuliani, this could be anything. This is deeper than that. Why wouldn't they? You have no idea what they're doing when they knock on your door and say, hey, we're from the landlord you never talked to, and we're coming to just spray some stuff. They could be unleashing whatever bugs. Because look, if they got rid of all the bugs, there would be no Orkin Man. The point is to have something to exterminate nonstop. It's like Chris Rock's bit about medicine. You don't cure anything. They keep it going so they have an industry.
Damn. God damn.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. Fucking play. You know nothing about that.
God damn.
Gang. Tell y'all. It's no point in getting rid of all the bugs if you're trying to make money.
Wow. Listen, that's devastating. If it's true, that's fucking devastating. That this entire industry is built on the maintenance of keeping infestations in people's homes because that's how they make their money. I didn't start this podcast fully on your side, but I'm getting pretty close to it. I'm coming around.
Why would they not keep it going?
Okay, let's take this a step back for a second, because I think this is important for everyone to be able to make sense of all of this. Where did this come from for you personally? Are there other people in your life who support this theory? Are you a lone ranger in this fight? Where are we at?
Having bed bugs.
Right.
Which would be worse.
We get it. You're nasty. But I'm saying, are there other people who you've run this past who are now on the bed bug conspiracy train?
Literally everybody who I presented this to went, you know, oh, is this a bit? That's what they said first.
And yeah, then sure.
I said, potentially, if we can workshop it. And then it went, there's nothing to workshop because I believe it so much, it's not funny.
Right. They're like, look, if this is what your comedy's turned into, if you're more of a truth teller at this point, I'm off the train. That's not the kind of comedy I'm subscribing to. So look, man, if you want to do a TEDx, I'll support you in that. But what you're doing right now is just spitting them hard, real facts. And I ain't trying to hear nothing else.
TEDx sounds like somebody who comes in to remove bugs, but they don't. Like TEDx is just spreading bed bugs throughout your house with that little nozzle. Sure.
It's either that or it's a white dude who went to one Nation of Islam meeting and he felt real inspired.
One semester at Morehouse and he's Theodore X, also known as TEDx.
He just shows up like, hey, did y'all know there's racism out here?
He don't eat pork. No more, just out of nowhere, just at the rib shop, eating sides.
And honestly, it's more because it upsets his stomach than it is because he's actually passionate about, like, the health and rules of religion. But he's like, nah, you know, if black people said that, I'm down. I'll do it.
But he's wearing the same color scheme from Belly, the black with the white with the black tie. So you believe him. And you're like, okay, well, his life different. He don't do beer keg stands no more. So
he wears a bow tie, but it's a Vineyard Vines bow tie. And he ain't fully down.
Before TEDx says anything, he takes his glasses off and points to him. Listen. I would like to fumigate your apartment.
Yeah, I love TEDx. I think you're hitting something really important here, that so many of the industries in our country, in the world, are built on necessity, right? That like there is no job that can't exist without a need, a want on the side of the consumer. And so with that, extermination is exactly the same. And mattresses are exactly the same. If we're not replacing our mattresses every year, then presumably these mattress companies either have to sell mattresses for insane prices, which they already do. That's already a well-known fact. But then on top of that, they also have to find a way to keep refilling that consumer base. And the best way to do that is by making our mattresses fail us in various ways, potentially through infestation.
Here's the thing that really sells it for me about any conspiracy theory. This is a show about mm-hmm. conspiracy.
That's what I heard, but I'm not always sure.
That's word on the street. And also, this is a big industry, and people are always are tempted to be nervous about exposing things. Mm-hmm. But I'm always like, even if it's true, what can I do about it?
Now, right.
That's the mm-hmm. beauty of a wide sweeping plot to take advantage of everyday Americans. There's nothing we can do about it, even if it is true.
Right. So to your point, when you're sort of like exposing big mattress for their ties to bed bugs, you, I guess, to some extent are admitting you're pretty weak in this. You don't have any real power to be able to stop what's happening.
Nothing you can do about it. You just got to buy a new mattress.
Wow. And so do you then go and buy a new mattress? Are you then just absolutely. Like...
You just buy it begrudgingly, but you do it.
Wow. Okay, now that's upsetting me here, Clark.
Because you see?
It feels like you being sort of a person on the ground floor in the bottom of the bowl, if you will, of this whole thing would want to create a new system where we don't sleep on mattresses anymore. Now you Japanese, now you sleep on them weird, you know, floor pads that they like.
And, the pull-out drawers.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, I would think that you would want to explore new options, but you're saying, no, I'm still fully invested in capitalism and all of its tricks.
Who enjoys, who can go without a decent night of sleep? Who, mm-hmm. who of you doesn't need to sleep well?
Sure.
If you can do that, especially in New York City, you've been on the train, you've been at work, you're going to open mics, you're going to Tutu's for a late night romp, you're getting a drink, all these things. I'm just shouting out bars at this point.
Just something very specific to you.
Yeah.
You're over to Jeff's house. You hang out with him for about 35 to 80 minutes. It depends if Jeff's in the mood. Then you head over to the...
It's Saturday, so you go by Greenpoint, and you think about taking that skateboarding class, but then you pass on it.
But then you're like, come on, dog, you 35. What you mean skateboarding class? Get over this. It's too late.
You promise yourself, so you walk back a little bit, but that Dunkin' Donuts is calling your name. And you're like, I could just get a stale glaze. Fuck that. Oh, shit. Is Matcha still going? Nah. They done with. So you skirmy around and you eat, you know, some artisanal shit. And then you just, that's your day.
Sure. And to your point, that is a very long day. That's an arduous day. And therefore, you need a good rest at the end of that bad boy. Now, here's my concern, and here's where I will challenge you, is that I do, in fact, think that maybe there's an alternative to a good night's sleep that we haven't discovered that is sort of absent of the mattress companies. That maybe the mattress companies have a hold on our minds in a way that we don't know we could have a good night's sleep without them bitches. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I would love to hear that because it ain't even cool, like in other cities. No cities where it's safe to catch some sleep on a train have a train.
Mm-hmm.
All the cities that have trains, it's very unsafe to catch 40 winks on. So it's the conspiracy is bigger than just like mattresses. They yeah. looked at every single angle. Like you have to get that rest when you get home. You can't sleep knowing you have bed bugs.
we are, especially in places like New York City, you are living in a sleepless prison that you are never going to be allowed to get the proper rest that you need. And so you are clinging to these mattresses because of the salvation that they offer, more than just they are a nice way to go to bed at night.
You know the worst thing about New York City with that? It's overcrowded. All day you're around people. Mm-hmm. Your bed is the one place where you can be alone. Not with bed bugs. You got company.
God damn. This hurts my feelings, and it makes me, I'm spiraling. I don't really know what to do, but we need to take a break. We're going to take a break. I'm going to get my shit together. Hopefully Clark's going to keep spitting that hard truth that we need, and we'll be back with more Clark Jones and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Oh my God! Wow! Oh my God!
Yeah, we're back here with more My Mama Told Me, more Clark Jones. We're still talking about the way that Big Mattress has constructed an impossible night's rest without their involvement, and thus all of the bed bugs and pests and night ruining, evening ruining, life ruining, potentially, things that they throw in the mix in our own lives. Do you think that there was like a singular meeting? Like, do you think there was just a meeting of the minds where they all sat down and were like, hey, sales are dipping across the board, we got to do something? And then that's when the bed bugs idea came? Or do you think it was more like a gradual process to that?
There's board of investors. If you follow and find out who had money invested in Serta and Sealy and Amazon, then that's your answer.
Wow. So you're saying that potentially there's like a Jeff Bezos on the other side of this. There's a Koch brothers on the other side of whatever this is that basically is now planning, growing their profits from the destruction of our lives.
Yeah, I don't name names per se, but I watch a lot of Drill, Chicago, Get Back YouTube videos. So I don't name names. It might even be names we don't even know. That's the thing about it. Because there's a yang to being woke, you know? Mm-hmm. The yin is like, oh, man, you get the fuck after protests, right? But the yang is there's nothing you can do about the thing that you're now woke about.
Right. Frederick Douglass in his slave narratives talks about this a little bit, where he says that the worst thing you could do to a slave is to teach them how to read, because ultimately you are enabling them to now understand the language of their imprisonment, of their slavery, as opposed to before when they're ignorant, they're trapped, but they don't quite understand what that trapped is. But now they understand every detail of that experience. And I think to your same point, once you've woken up to the fact that Big Mattress wants you dead, or at least wants you sleepless, there's no way you can go back.
That is great, man. That just... Because I've always thought like that, and I didn't know me and Frederick Douglass were both geniuses. I thought it was just him.
I love that. Man, damn. I didn't know Frederick Douglass was deep like me. That's crazy.
Whoa. So you mean to tell me Freddie Dux was retweeting my thoughts before I was born? That's crazy.
Oh, man. Okay.
That's what it is, man. Yeah, that's a great point. Like, did you know, like, the whole Walker thing? This is just a sidebar, but, like, the idea of, what is it on The Walking Dead? Those are called zombies.
Zombies
came from slaves thinking that, like, if they killed themselves, then they would just live forever as slaves. As zombie slaves, pretty much.
Wait a minute. Because okay, I'm listening. You're saying that the original conception of zombies came from slaves' fear that in dying in slavery, they would remain slaves forever.
Yep. And if they killed themselves, they would just remain as these zombie slaves forever. That was the hell. They would have to be slaves.
Wow. And this is you're saying the original zombie. Like
that's where the whole thing came from.
Whoa. If true, devastating. I don't have the research, and you didn't know basic Frederick Douglass quotes, so I can't trust you wholeheartedly, but that is just the idea that that's where it came from is fucking devastating in that, yeah, to your point, it's we're trapped in this forever and always in a way that, like, is inescapable.
Or more suicide would have occurred.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how ingrained it had to be. Like, why wouldn't you just say, man, fuck this, let me get the fuck
right
out of here.
Like, there's no reason to stay in this life of servitude unless they can figure out a way to make you fear even leaving the worst version of this experience.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. Wow. Okay, let's get into this
research. I didn't even know I was gonna drop that one on you.
Yeah, I didn't know either, and
y'all can look it up. I ain't just, I'm telling you, it's all out. That one's out there. So you can look that up.
Hell yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about bed bugs and their history, particularly in this country. Bed bugs have apparently been around for thousands of years. There's even evidence that, like, the ancient Egyptians, like, were writing different stories about how to get rid of these pesky little monsters, whatever, right? So for thousands of years, they've bothered humans. But to your earlier point about us sort of starting to resolve the problem with bed bugs, in 1939, this Swiss chemist named Paul Hermann Muller discovered a pesticide called DDT, which proved to be super effective against bed bugs. It was a Triple H finishing move. No, not Triple H, although he did use it quite a bit, but it was a finishing move in the WWE. And then it also was apparently super effective in killing bed bugs.
That and Decon.
yeah. Okay, so DDT, apparently the way that it's so effective is because more than any other chemical, it has the ability to stay on surfaces for a really long time. Like, it lingers for a really long time, and it attacks the nervous system of the bed bugs. So it just, like, basically melts their fucking insides. But then in 1972, DDT is banned in the U.S. because apparently it also has cancer-causing agents in it. It's like a carcinogen, and it becomes like this super dangerous thing for them to be putting in people's homes just to get rid of insects.
So one of the surfaces it would remain on is your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you couldn't get rid of this.
Yes, exactly. You're sitting in here and your bed bugs are, their insides are melting, and apparently your insides are melting too, just a little bit slower than the bed bugs.
Yeah, I believe it.
Okay, now here's where your suggestion starts to get really interesting, because even after 1972, there's not, like, immediately this massive outbreak of bed bugs once we start banning DDT, right? It more or less kind of stays under control until around the mid-1980s to mid-1990s. But, and then this is where it really gets interesting, in the year 2000, there's this massive uptick in people claiming to have bed bugs because, and this is the claim, is that there is now a DDT-resistant strain of bed bugs that suddenly pops up out of nowhere. Bed bugs just suddenly are no longer allergic to the thing that otherwise kills humans and everything else.
This thing that was killing humans.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, there's a strain of it that it can't kill that. Like, humans, stop taking this or you'll die. But the bed bugs, like, are we back?
Yep. The bed bugs are like, nah, we good. Give me a big old tall glass of DDT. I don't feel nothing.
Just chugging it. And tutus in Brooklyn.
What is this? What does DDT stand for? Delicious, delicious, tasty? Because that's how I'm drinking it. I love it.
This drink, I can't think of a T adjective, but
this drink turnt. I'm a bed bug that talk like talk like the year 2016.
Yeah.
And I love this. Yeah, so the bed bugs apparently are now suddenly not allergic to the DDT. And here's where it starts to get this part turned me off, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. One of the reasons that they claim, or possible reasons that they claim, that these bed bugs are suddenly becoming DDT resistant is that they may have come over from Africa. That they were sort of these Africanized bed bugs that then show up to America and now are DDT. They're too strong. They're stronger than the average bed bug.
And that's when I really start believing this. When the thing turns to is Africa, it came from Africa. That's when I know a white man did it. That's I was like at 97%. Now I'm at like 98%. Because as soon as it came from Africa, because ain't nobody going over there to find out. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, the tornadoes come from Africa. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. It bugs me whenever they start suggesting that, like, the entire continent of Africa is servicing up these, like, more powerful, more dangerous versions of the things that we have in America. The Africanized bee. It's not a more dangerous bee. It's just a bee with a vengeance that you brought over here, white devil, that you introduced to your America, and now you're sitting here resentful that you didn't leave the motherfucker alone. Just leave it alone.
I mean, after all this time, like, it's white folks who went over there too. Like, but you say it's from Africa and people just assume it's from Africans.
Right, that it is Africa's fault. When in fact, in more cases than not, it is the white man's fault for traveling to a space that was not his and bringing back something that, again, did not belong to him.
Sierra Leone is a French name. Stop it. Ain't no niggas named Sierra Leone. Get the fuck out of here. Sure.
Exactly. And Rhodesia, so one of the things.
Suck my dick.
One of the things that they argue for these bed bugs and for the reason that these Africanized or foreign bed bugs sort of make it to the U.S. is that in the 80s and 90s, there is this massive uptick in national and international travel by airplane. And so it's part of the reason that we're getting these different species and strains of these insects traveling to different places is because somebody goes to, let's say, Sierra Leone. They hang out there and then they come back with now a different type of bed bug, one that has built up a resistance to DDT, largely because they're using in Africa, they're using mosquito nets that are laced with a different type of protection of chemicals that basically built a strength in the bed bugs that live over there.
Yeah, I wish I could go find out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
but there's no way. Who got time sure. to find out? Like, yeah.
This
furthers my point, right?
I think so. I think it's definitely not hurting what you're building here. There's also an argument that bed bugs over the years through evolution have built up a thicker exoskeleton, that because their exoskeleton, their outside shell is getting harder and thicker, it is making it harder for these chemicals that otherwise would have killed them to penetrate their exoskeleton and thus melt up their insides.
But they're so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, if they're a living, breathing organism, and these things can harm us to murder us.
Yep.
I mean, the droplets are bigger than the bed bug.
Sure. I'm listening. I'm not sure what point you're making, but I'm listening.
Well, what I'm saying is, it ain't like, if it's there, it's being breathed in, and you're this right. big. I don't give a fuck how big your shell is. Is there a shell over your nose?
Nose and mouth.
If you have living, breathing organism, it's going into your system.
Right. And so one of the things that they're saying is that, and this goes to your earlier point, right? And this is where the research, I think, really takes a turn in your favor, is that keep in mind, so much of it already has, but a multi-million dollar industry is born from bed bug prevention that isn't DDT. the one thing that they 100% could confirm was capable of killing bedbugs is now taken out. But then all these other industries are born where they start to convince people that if you buy this product or if you invest in this thing or if you replace this thing with this thing, you suddenly can get rid of these bed bugs. And this goes to your original idea that there's no way that they can actually confirm a lot of the things that they're saying are killing the bed bugs, in fact, are killing the bed bugs.
Even with all this information that you know, if you had a bed bug right now, would you buy a new mattress? Yep.
If I had one right this second?
Yeah. Would you buy a new mattress?
It's tough, man.
Really?
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. It's pretty tough. And I'm going to get into some reasons why right now. But some of what I found is pretty devastating. So here's the reality with bed bugs. The reason they're so difficult to kill is because, number one, they lay dormant for long periods, sometimes months, right? And then on top of that, they only come out during certain hours in the night. Okay, so the bed bug can like lay in the middle of your mattress undetected for a really long time and you'll never catch it. So in theory, if I find a bed bug, I have to presume that my mattress could potentially be infested. Now, I could take the time, because they do say that there are ways to kill bed bugs, right? That like through heat and through suffocation and all the different things that you can do to get rid of these bed bugs, I could presume that maybe I do the work to get rid of them, or I could presume that I go to a mattress company and ask them to replace it. To your earlier point, though, there's now something in dealing with the mattress companies where they pretty much are pretty open that like recycling, I think they call it like mattress rejuvenation or some shit, is a fully real thing. That like a reconditioned mattress is something that they basically claim is something you know, they strip down and they sterilize and they repurpose and sell to consumers. And you buy it knowing it's a reconditioned mattress, but they keep those mattresses in the exact same places that they keep new mattresses. It's not as if like this is kept in a separate area. So in theory, if these products are as ineffective as they seem to be at killing off the insect that is so hard to kill, in buying a new mattress, I am simply reinvesting in a new bed bug infestation, which I don't need. I'll go with the ones I know.
I'm just imagining Scrooge McDuck swimming in bed bugless money. Yep. As he resells you at a higher price the mattress you used to have.
It's devastating. There's an article I read that was on NBC News where they basically tracked this mattress company as they picked up a bunch of mattresses that were on the street. And before they picked up the mattresses, they checked each mattress for bed bugs, found that one of the nine of them that they watched this mattress company pick up did in fact have a bed bug infestation. They put it in the exact same pile as the other mattresses. So maybe they did, in fact, sterilize this and break it down and do everything they could to get rid of it. But the point that NBC News was making and sort of the science behind it is there's no way of 100% guaranteeing that you fully have gotten rid of these things without like cracking the motherfucker open and like picking it out one by one. And so like, you don't know.
You know what else business thrived off this? Big ass plastic wrap.
Yes. Yep.
You had to wrap it before you could sit it outside.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that they talk about as like part of this multi-million dollar industry that came out of bed bugs. It's plastic wraps that they claim can keep bed bugs from penetrating your mattress. But one of the things that scientists say is that bed bugs don't actually need to be in soft surfaces. It's a ruse that they're selling you that like, oh, if you cover your mattress, you'll be straight. When in fact, bed bugs can live in the cracks in your walls. They can live in the cracks in your mattresses. They can live in literally the cracks of the foundation of your floor. So even if you're able to get rid of the bed bugs on your surface, you can't guarantee you've gotten rid of them from your home entirely, or even worse, from the entirety of your apartment building.
And I can't speak to the intellect of bed bugs, right?
I can't
imagine them on the bed and they see you struggling mightily to wrap with that big ass clean plastic wrap, and they just go there like, dang, I wonder what's going to happen with that. No, they go back into the crack until that new mattress come in, unless you fumigate, unless TEDx comes to your apartment and sprays the cracks or whatever. And I ain't saying they all crooked. I'm just saying that's one point of entry.
I totally agree. Here's another scary thing that I think you brought up earlier was about the uptick that people saw in terms of pest management. So a recent bed bug pest control survey, this is them surveying the people who are in charge of pest control, where they can, it was conducted by the National Pest Management Association, the NPMA. Apparently it's a real thing. But they found that bed bug infestation in the United States continued at a high rates, with 97% of pest control professionals having treated for bed bugs in the past year. And that number is significantly higher than 15 years ago, when it was only 25% of pest control professionals saying that they had treated bed bugs in the past year. So it went from 25 to 97 in 15 years.
I'm no math person, but if my bank account went from the 25% to 97, then I ain't worried about bed bugs no more.
Sure. You got that money.
Got that Upper East Side, got that Jamaican nanny money.
You got that. And now your kid has a weird accent. This is what we're all striving for. This is the America that capitalism builds. This is the danger that we're fighting against, is potentially Big Mattress and all of the corruption that they've cooked up that affects our entire lives, not just the ones that we can see on the surface, if you will.
Greed is good.
Yeah. Okay, let me hit you with one last little piece of information that blew my mind. One of the things that they specifically say about these pest management companies and sort of the bullshit that they're able to cook up around bed bugs is because they can't guarantee that they're getting rid of them, they start to offer all of these alternatives for getting rid of them. So one of the things that they've started cooking up is, like, we talked about the mattress covers. Another thing was bed bug sniffing dogs is apparently a thing now, where, like, they say that, like, they can train dogs to sniff out bed bugs in your home or in your mattress. But I started thinking, all right, if I'm a pest control company, either I, number one, get a dog and train it to always smell bed bugs, whether they're there or they're not, because then I get to fumigate and charge you extra money. Or alternatively, I get a dog that can't smell shit and charge you for bringing the dog in. And then the dog is like, I don't know, I don't smell nothing. And then you just stick with bed bugs and I still have to come and fumigate later.
Or the dog, okay, it's a dog sniffing, not dog killing.
Uh-huh.
So you know, the dog just like, yeah, y'all got bed bugs. And right, you're right. Like, yeah, so, okay, do something. Nah. I got fleas. So yeah.
Nah, player, I got my own problems. That ain't really shit. My thing.
Matter of fact, you got fleas now, too.
Hey, player, I ain't gonna lie to you. You got some more problems that you're going to have to deal with, because
I got bad news and I got worse news.
The bad news is the bites on your face are 100% bed bugs. The good news, or the worst news, is you're going to have some other bites on your face. They ain't going to be bed bugs. They're going to be something else.
the terrible news is I got to go. Just shaking out fleas on the way right out.
And the heartbreaking news is I can't be here no more, man. My owner said I got to get up out of here. So I'm going to holler at you. Good luck with your little infestation. Woof woof and all that. Peace out.
Which way is the DeKalb stop? Because I got to go.
I love that. The dog can sniff out bed bugs, but he don't know which way the DeKalb stop is. The misdirection is too hard. He don't know.
All them fleas got him turned around, man.
Here's the last little bit that I'll give you, and this part made me feel especially sad, is that more often than not, when bed bugs are biting, when they're actually like fucking people up with like those sort of infamous bed bug bites that you see all over people's bodies and faces, that is in fact coming from an allergic reaction. That bed bug bites themselves don't show up very well the first couple rounds for the average person who isn't allergic to bed bugs. And so in a lot of cases, people can have bed bugs and never know it, or at least not know it for a very long time, because they're not having an allergic reaction to the bites. So we all might have them. They might just all, the little goodnight, don't let the bed bugs bite might just be part of the deal.
Dude, so genetically, like, you're not even aware because you're not allergic to them.
Yep.
And isn't that crazy? Between 1985 and 2015, I heard nothing of bed bugs.
Sure.
from me hearing that song as a child,
yep,
as a toddler, it took 20 more years for it to return. Coincidence? I think not.
I think by your argument, it is in fact not a coincidence. And Big Bed Bug is behind this whole thing. And it's ultimately ruining our world. It's ruining everything.
It was a sad time in Brooklyn, man, because that's all people talked about. But then nobody wants to talk about it because, as you call
me, the shame.
You call me dirty. Yes.
Yes, the shame. It's a very shameful thing. And everything that I read is says how important that shame is in selling these products, that it's always about discretion and keeping things quiet. And even though they can't prove that these products work, people grapple on to grabbing and buying these products because of the possibility that maybe if I spray this stuff, or maybe if I fumigate this way, or if I get, you know, this dog who don't speak English to come into my home and sniff them out, I can avoid the shame of people realizing I am, in fact, a bed bug owner.
Dude, the biggest people hoarding Lysol and anti and disinfectant stuff were people who called COVID a hoax.
Yep.
It's like, COVID's a hoax, yeah, but it's people who don't think that, and I know how to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. There it is. This is all just a big scheme. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more Clark Jones and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. We're back here with more Clark Jones, more My Mama Told Me. We're unpacking the way that capitalism has strategized ways to ruin every part of our lives, including our sleep. And now we're going to play a game, Clark. This is a fun game. I'm going to introduce to you a very fun game that I think you're going to enjoy. It's called White Lies.
Ugly. You are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
Okay, White Lies. It's a very fun game in which I am going to introduce to you a traditional white conspiracy, one that white people have supported to some degree for years now. And I would love for you to unpack why you think this conspiracy is so important to white people. What do you think they're holding on to? What are these sneaky motherfuckers up to? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hell yeah. Your conspiracy today, and this is my first time hearing this one, but it's very exciting for me. Your conspiracy today comes from the movie Frozen. The movie Frozen is where your conspiracy lives. But apparently, there are some people who believe, I'm sure you've heard this before, that Walt Disney froze his head, right? That when he died, there's a theory that Walt Disney may have had his head cryogenically frozen so that he could bring himself back in the future at some point, right?
Yeah.
There are some people who believe that the movie Frozen is in fact just a big ruse. It was written just as a way to throw off the algorithm on Google so that when you type in Disney Frozen, the first thing that pops up is not Walt Disney's Frozen head, but is in fact this now multi-billion dollar film and subsidies and all the things that were born out of it. My question for you is, why do you think white people are so invested in this conspiracy?
Well, can I say a couple things first?
Yes, please.
One is, this is probably true.
You got to say why. You can't just leave it at that.
Ted Williams is cryogenically frozen.
Mm-hmm.
The baseball player from Boston, where you have spent a lot of time.
Yep. I thought you were going to say where you're from and I was going to fist fight you via Zoom.
Where you learn how to do comedy. It's hard to say. Let me just say to the white people who are holding on to this, like, you don't need to freeze Walt Disney. Like, his racism is alive and well. Like, there's no need. It's like they're freezing them to say, oh, just in case we run out of racism, we already got Walt Disney.
Oh, nobody imagined racism the way that Walt Disney did. We're going to need to keep him.
He had a whimsical approach on it. He made it enjoyable. He wrote songs. He turned Mickey Mouse into a fucking caricature. He did, like, it's fine. It's on Breitbart. It's on that new, the racist Twitter. Like, if you're holding on to it, you don't have to. It's fine. It's well protected. Yep. So, yeah, I think that's why they, like, just like, whenever we just need a mammy. I'm sure Al Jolson is somewhere in somebody locker. Literally chilling.
Right. So to your point, this is them holding on to the whimsy of like an antiquated racism and the belief that Frozen was somehow a protection against that is really just adding to the mystique of Walt Disney and his brilliance that like, oh, he planned that, you know, eventually people would know that his head was frozen and they would have to protect his identity or protect his choice via this film.
There's got to be a study on how many pages deep people go on Google searches.
Oh,
there's got to be, like, on average, people, I think I've gone to like the eighth page.
Whoa, you've gone crazy deep.
That is deep, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Like, eight pages is kind of, I forgot what it was for, but it was.
Oh, I mean, you could say it's porn. This ain't a family show. You could just say
it is, look, a video.
There's a specific set of titties that I remember and I would love to see again.
Adam22 from the No Jumper podcast got a video that used to be readily available, but all of a sudden everybody deleted it. It can't be found. You can't even buy it. That's how deep it is. So I went eight pages deep and I still can't find it. So I think, like, if you type Disney Frozen by the ninth page, you should come up with something. Or just skip to 23.
Sure. I think, and this is what PR people are constantly, this is the whole point of their job, is that the Google algorithm actually, they say that at the point that it's on the second page, it no longer is an issue for people. That, like, literally nobody goes past the first page for their Google searches. So what you really want is to just get the shit off the front page and you're pretty much good no matter what it is, including, you know, freezing your head or forcefully coming on a lady in a way that she didn't want to, whatever it may be.
what if Walt Disney's head was one of the fake audiences at like the NBA bubble?
This is the ABC partnership that they agreed to. You're gonna have to put the frozen head front row.
He's just saluting Hitler. He just fucking drawing, doing all types of crazy Walt Disney stuff.
I would love it if the frozen Walt Disney head was sitting right next to Barack Obama when they forced him to, like, give a motivational speech in the middle of the NBA bubble where he was like, hey, by the way, remember to vote, fellas. And Shaq's sitting there nodding like he didn't understand.
Just what there this the was. Whole time. He's underneath the Black Lives Matter symbol, just putting up.
Just Walt Disney. He ain't got no fingers, but he wants to flick you off. You better believe it. Right. He's just sticking his tongue out at Black Lives Matter.
Pen in hand, but just.
Listen, I believe I'm sold that Walt Disney froze his head too. You're good at conspiracy theories, Clark. You did it. You really nailed being a psychopath with me, and I appreciate that.
I'm in the basement.
Hell yeah.
So that part.
This was beautiful. Could you tell the people at home where they can find you, what cool shit you have going on?
Do I want to tell people after this? At the Clark Jones, T-H-E-E Clark Jones, on Instagram and Twitter. We have some fun over there, man. This has been really, really a good time. And I have an Etsy store, Classic Black Customs.
Yeah, Clark does some dope shit customizing clothes and shoes and making everything look fly. And y'all should check him out. Check out his Etsy store. Listen to his insane theories and then go buy things from him on Etsy. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman. And please, if you have any drops, if you have any additional conspiracy theories, if you have any voicemails that you would like to send us, you can send all of that to mymamapod@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And bye.